Good evening. As Philip mentioned, we'll continue with the VBS theme through a series of four lessons that have been prepared. First, I'll start with a lesson on Peter's faith in Jesus. Then following that, we'll have separate lessons on Peter's love for Jesus, Peter's preaching about Jesus, and finally, Peter's courage for Jesus. Simon Peter, also known as Cephas, was one of the first followers of Jesus Christ. He was an outspoken and ardent disciple, one of Jesus' closest friends, an apostle, and often considered a pillar in the church. The story that we're going to focus on tonight will be when Jesus called Peter to follow him just after producing a miraculous catch of fish. So let's take a look at that story in Luke chapter 5. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked them to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. Jesus' ministry around Capernaum had clearly drawn a crowd, and how awesome would it be for Peter to experience this miracle of authority just after hearing a message of authority from the Christ himself? The Jesus in the story is not a total stranger to those that will become his first disciples. He taught among them in Capernaum and has already healed Peter's mother-in-law there as well. And that explains why Peter recognizes Jesus in verse number 5, even calling him Master. In this situation, we see Peter expressing some resistance in verse number 5, saying that they caught nothing through the night. Perhaps it was through God's providence that they caught nothing to pave the way for this miracle and the subsequent events that Jesus was about to perform. In verse number 5, we see two voices are audible in Peter's reply. On the one hand, we see the voice of a professional fisherman who is in doubt based on his worldly experience as a professional. And we also see the voice of a novice disciple leaning into his faith. Here in this verse, we see a contrast of the Peter of this world and also the Peter that would soon be leading others into that same faith. Peter knows from his experience the futility of fishing after sunup. In the daylight, the fish can see the nets, and he reminds Jesus, who is considerably less experienced in the fishing trade. Peter's final word, however, is not based on his experience, reasonable as that might be in a moment like this. Rather, his final word is based on his faith in the authority of Jesus. Peter expresses faith by trusting the word of Jesus in spite of all of his experience to the contrary. Despite his hesitation, he puts his faith in the Lord and puts out the nets into the deep water. In verses 6 and 7, we see the nets breaking and the boat sinking from so many fish. Jesus here intended to confirm the message that he had just preached to the crowd at Capernaum. And he was proving that he is something more than just a teacher. Then, moving to verse number 8, we see a very pivotal moment in Peter's faith. At the beginning of the story, in verse number 5, Peter calls Jesus Master when Jesus asks him to put out to the deep. This is more similar to Peter calling him the boss or the commander. But following the miraculous catch, he pivots and he calls him Lord in verse number 8, which expresses Peter's recognition of Jesus' supreme authority. And he had no doubt at this point the power and the knowledge of Jesus. But along with that expression of faith, something odd happens, or seemingly odd. He confesses his unworthiness. In amazement, wonder, gratitude, he was very aware that he was in the presence of the divine, and he prostrated himself towards Jesus, trembling and afraid, confessing his unworthiness. Peter was not only completely astonished by this miracle, but he was also instantaneously conscious of his own imperfection in the presence of God. Peter's humble admission echoes the truth that true faith begins with acknowledging our unworthiness and recognizing Christ's divine authority. And this reaction is very appropriate for someone that's in the presence of the Lord. He expresses his unworthiness in a way that is reminiscent of many before him, such as Isaiah, who said that he was also unworthy of the calling. Peter's confession does not necessarily mean that there is some mortal sin that's obstructing his ability to have faith, but rather, like many before him, he's expressing his abject unworthiness in the presence of the Holy. However, that has to be balanced. That fact that we are unworthy has to be balanced with the fact that God separates things and people to himself to become holy as well. And these things, or people, including his saints, which literally means holy ones, the Lord chooses to set apart from the world and to himself. And so in this, we see kind of a paradox of faith. There's profound humility of our unworthiness in the face of Christ's greatness. But simultaneously, there's this invitation to walk alongside him as faithful disciples. And also at the same time, we have to recognize that this miraculous catch does not depend on Peter's confession of faith in this particular instance. The source of the catch really depended on the will of Jesus, on his grace. Peter did not deserve this act of grace, which is, you know, undeserved favor. And so this story really begins with God's grace and ends with Peter's faith. And ultimately, the salvation of many through Christ working through Peter. His recognition of guilt and unworthiness did not drive him away from God. Rather, his sense of unworthiness combined with God's grace drew him to God. Jesus' statement later in the chapter that he did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance is a statement not only about the people to whom who Jesus' message is directed, but also, and perhaps more importantly, it's really a statement about the character of those people, like Peter, who respond humbly, obediently, and gratefully to the call. Jesus does not call the righteous who seek to justify themselves by some standard other than himself. He calls sinners like Peter, who put faith in him, who drop their defenses and yield to his transformative love and forgiveness. After Peter's confession, he is commissioned as a catcher of men in verse number 10. The verb to catch really means more literally to capture alive, which is really kind of foreshadowing the purpose of Peter's mission through God. And that's later fulfilled in, for example, Acts chapter 2, when 3,000 souls were added to the church in a single day by his preaching. And then moving to verse number 11, it says that his faith even led him to leave everything behind. They walk away from their boats, their fishing gear, and even the opportunity to profit from this massive catch. And that's because they see a higher value in what Jesus has to offer, and they also trust that he will continue to provide for their needs. This is certainly a reminder that faith and works or action go hand in hand. In James chapter 2, we read that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, and that faith without works is dead. So here in this story, too, we see that cascading effect of God's grace leading to faith and ultimately this action on behalf of Peter, which is so important. That faith had to be manifested in works to be true faith, and that's exactly what we see in the story. It was a faith that was later perfected in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Peter worked out his faith through the establishment and work through the church. I think that the story can be relatable to anyone who has taken those first steps of faith. Peter in the story did not have a full understanding of Christ or his mission at this point, yet he was able to make that leap of faith. He was not perfect either. He had weaknesses as well, such as when he was said to have little faith when walking on the water with Jesus in Matthew 14, or more notably, when Peter denied Jesus three times in Matthew 26. Like Peter, we must be willing to take a leap of faith based on where we are today. This story serves as a powerful example of humility, repentance, and the life-altering impact of encountering Christ. Through Peter's confession, we're reminded that true faith is not merely intellectual acknowledgement, but a surrender of our entire being, our entire lives, to the transformative power of Christ. God will meet us on our level and guide us into faith if we're willing to be a part of that, just like he met Peter on his level as a simple fisherman. God graciously condescends to dwell with those who are humble, contrite, and willing to walk with him. He seeks followers who are willing to walk in faith like Peter.